Welcome back to Source from the Sofa. It is Thursday night. We're recording shortly after the Thursday night football game where the Bengals won, not surprising to me, in 33-31 over my Steelers. Wasn't too happy about the game. I was ready to throw out my TV after the first quarter. But that's pretty much what I expected. But good showing. Joe Flacco really killed it. Chase killed it as well. Lots of yardage. I did have the Pittsburgh D in my fantasy league because I figured like that was one of the better options this week. And it looks like that might be the deciding factor of me losing to last place guy in my league. So we'll see how that turns out. So already not happy for this week. But we got a lot of lines to go through. Another London game?
Last one, I think.
That's ridiculous. Jesus Christ. All right, so one more international game for this period of year. Is there any more throughout the rest of the year?
I think it's the last.
Does Mexico City have another game this year? I don't know.
Mexico City?
That
sounds familiar. I don't know. I don't have my Circa calendar in front of me right now.
I do have it in front of me. Well, wait, okay, hold up here. It does have international games. Actually, we do.
Yep, Berlin.
Quite a few,
actually.
Coming up
on November 9th, yep. And then Spain. I think it's nice. The first trip to Spain. Commanders, Dolphin in Spain on week 11.
Yeah.
In Madrid.
Figured, yeah. So. Nice. So a couple more games. Yeah. Berlin's a really fun city to travel through. Really fun drinking party city. Good stuff. I don't got much to talk about for this game, whereas, you know, it is what it is. Do you guys have any insights before we move on to the Lions?
I feel like you're rushing us off the topic, Rome, a little bit, if I'm going to be honest.
Not really.
It feels that way, but I will say this. I don't know how the rest of this week's going to go, but we were on the Bengals plus 5.5, so that's a good start, even though it doesn't count as part of the contest. I feel good now. Getting that victory.
I mean, we need to feel good. We need to start off because we were pretty bad last week. I think I had the high last week at 6 wins. That's bad. That's bad. We're bad boys.
Yeah.
As good as we are in college.
I'm feeling good about this week,
though. Like, we're pretty good in college, but pro, not so much.
Okay. Flacco did well. It is what it is. I really don't know. I really like that potential game-winning drive that Rodgers had. It was just too fast. 60 yards to their tight end. It was really beautiful. Did a quick little yell at that point. It was like, 2:20 left to go in the fourth quarter. But it was so much time to give Flacco, and just they really milked the clock. Did a really great job on that last drive and just didn't give Rodgers enough time. That last heave, though, God, that was as good as you can ask for going to the end zone. They just had no guys around it. So
I think you've got to give a heads up play to T. Higgins basically going down there inside the 10 because he could have easily scored a touchdown. Yeah. And the Steelers would have had about, a minute 40, minute 38, whatever the clock was at that time. And only needed, with all their timeouts basically left. So that was a smart play to make them burn all those timeouts.
Yeah, it was a lot of weird things that happened in this game. For instance, the one catch by Metcalf turned into an interception as they're going out of bounds. That was odd. I can't think of what else, but some weird penalties. I felt like they called Porter on maybe like one or two flags I thought they could have picked up on. But great job. As always, these divisional games, and it's Thursday night. It was really entertaining, which so far we've gotten some pretty good games Thursday night for the season. Usually they're all shit, and it's been pretty entertaining. Today, overall, though, Dodgers win in phenomenal fashion and another well-managed, well-executed game. 3-1 to go 3-0 against the Milwaukee Brewers. And then I did not catch the end of the Seattle game, so I don't know how that went, but I did see Toronto was up considerably. I think when I changed, it was the 7th inning. And someone just hit a home run to extend the lead. And now that's all not Vladdy. That's all knotted up. He looked a little thicker. I wasn't paying attention. I was editing at the same time. I just saw a thick guy and some dreads trotting around the bases. Like, all right, cool. Time to put it back on the football game. What was the final score in that one?
8-2.
Wow, dude. I was in trouble, man. They got one more game to win at home, but looks like Toronto. Well,
that's a good knock.
The right
they
time.
Came alive, but it's been a really interesting series. Home team hasn't won a game yet so far through four. So, you know, you're in a best of three that's now crazy. Down the stretch. But, yeah, I mean, Toronto, Aaron said it last night or whenever this is posted at a certain point. But, you know, Toronto's going to need to out-hit this series. It's not going to be a pitching duel, and they're going to have to hit runs. And, man, they have come alive in what's mostly a pitcher's ballpark up in Seattle, too, for the most part. So, it's, yeah, right time for Toronto right now, and they're going to need it. The Dodgers are going to be all rested up and ready for the World Series, getting their bullpen and the pitching staff right.
Dude, Roki did really good. No mistakes today. Mookie Betts, a finalist for the Gold Glove. He was making a lot of plays. Looks like he was kind of managing the whole team in the final two or three innings. Really good show out for the Dodgers. They're just
I'm just curious. What's the lowest run total a team has scored in a championship series? Because the Brewers have scored one run every game this series. They've got three runs in three games. So, I mean,
that's
what is
it?
Yeah. Three runs in three games here. So,
I don't know. That's a good question. We got to look that up. All right. Let's get into it then. We are going off, as per usual, off the Circo Sports Millions point spreads that Aaron uses. By the way, man, we don't know how you're doing, but I'm assuming you're out of it.
For what?
For the Circa.
I'm in Survivor still.
You are?
I'm still in.
How many? You got one.
One.
What'd you go out on all the others?
The Bills against the Patriots on that Sunday nighter. I got to remember what the other one is. I played the Packers in the tie against the Cowboys.
That's respectable.
So ties are losses in that contest.
Yeah. I think our guys at the Survivor podcast, they mentioned it was a good, 35% that went out on the game, if not bigger. It was pretty big.
It was not that game. It was week that week five when Buffalo lost. The top two teams lost as well that week, which was
Eagles.
So Rams lost that week, Cardinals lost that week, and Bills. That knocked out 60% of the field.
That's crazy.
Remember the Cardinals?
So how much of the field's left?
Down to about 25-30%. There's only there's only about 4,500 people left.
Yeah, yeah. I heard it was less than that.
There was over 18,000 that signed in. So yeah.
Crazy
stuff. Looking like this week it could come down to Jason's Bears. That might be the choice on the circuit. So
for you?
Yeah. It's a possibility.
I'll have a cool stat for the Bears. I'll reveal that
later.
So right now,
just so you know, Rome, right now, the last entry we have is now a group entry. So it's me and three other guys. We're running it. We're bought in. And that's how this last entry is going. Because we all had other entries that got eliminated. So we've partnered up for this last one that's remaining.
Got it.
So last week we were on the Steelers. And this week it looks like it's Bears and Patriots are kind of the finalists too, as far as a choice this week.
How much you want to bet that I know Rome's Bears stat?
You 100% you know the stat. I was gonna send it to you, but you're already splooging about Chicago from last night. I didn't want to, make your wife jealous by sending you more.
Pretty sure I almost posted this stat on Instagram today. I'm fairly positive. I know which one it is.
Yeah. We'll see if we're talking about the same stat. All right. So back to London, England, Rams, Jaguars, 44.5 over under at 6:30 in the morning, October 19th. Rams here by 3 against Aaron's Jags, who took a tough beating against the Seahawks. There's a cool little clip on social circling around that. Aaron, you go first.
Yeah, Rome. I mean, I guess you mentioned my Jags because, I like Liam Cohen. And, this is Jacksonville's second home, maybe their first home. I mean, they're one of the teams that seems to be in London every year for the last decade. They play well there. Both teams, Rams coming off that win from Baltimore. I don't know. Maybe Jason knows that they travel straight from Baltimore to London, kind of what the, Broncos did from Philly to London. Not sure about the scheduling there, but the Rams are going to be without Puka Nacua. He's out. Not really sure why they're getting 3 points, but I'm going to take Jacksonville here. I think Jacksonville can run the ball. I like their matchup on the outside with Hunter, Thomas, and those guys against the Rams' small secondary. think it's going to be an entertaining game. I'm going to take the points. I like the Jaguars here, +3 in London. Anything can happen there. So we'll see. Not real confident on this game, but Jags +3 for me.
Yep, I agree with Aaron.
Nice, Jason.
And I'll take the Jags as well, +3. For me, the decisive pick, I think, for me is that Jacksonville has stayed in London over this course week. The Rams had to travel out there without Puka Nacua, massive spot for this offense. Stafford, he could have a great game. He cannot have a great game, as seen for some of these London games that are 6:30 a.m. here on the West Coast. You know, it's not the best football. And where you're giving me points, the Jags need a bounce back win. I think that's where I lean. But I agree with Aaron. I don't think it's the best play. I think a lot of these London games are kind of a tough read. But if you're going to pick a side, I think you're going to take the points and take the Jags.
I like the points for the Jags as well. I'm in unison with you guys. This game, although it's a travel, it's just that I just feel like the Rams are going to get up for this game. And because everyone thinks that the Jags should be well prepared and well rested because they stayed in there, I feel like it might be a little let down. I like the Rams to still possibly pull out this win, but 3 points for the Jags for what should be a really, really fun game. Go with the Jags as well. All right, back to the United States of America. At 10 a.m., we got Raiders visiting the Chiefs. This line has come down a lot in the last few days because I believe it was up to 15.5 earlier in the week when things opened up over under 45.5. Jason.
Yeah, one of those big spreads. If you looked at over the past couple of weeks, we've had some success with them, but I think the Bills probably the notable one that let us down in some of these games that had specific spreads. But we've seen ones like the Lions, I think in week 4 or 5, 9.5-point favorites, they covered there. But overall, I think it's just a ton of points. And Kansas City plays a lot of close games. The Raiders, you know, not great, but they still got some guys up there. I just think it's too many points right now. I'm going to take the Raiders 11.5.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these games that kind of went back and forth. You know, Jason noted the points, right? I mean, we've seen 14.5, 15.5, 13.5. A lot of these teams have been covering. The Lions are really the only outlier. I think they covered 10 against Cleveland and 9.5, 10 against the Bengals. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Chiefs are getting Rice back. They're getting offensively, they've looked pretty good. The Raiders got lots of injuries. Bowers is going to be out again. Jacoby Myers hasn't practiced this week. He's got a toe and knee. The Raiders just haven't shown me anything on the road. Every road game they've had this year outside of the opener against the Patriots, they've gotten beat badly. I think the Chiefs right now are starting to get things rolling. I like Kansas City here. I'll take the Chiefs at home, 11.5. I think the offense with Rice and everybody in the defense, Geno Smith, he's probably due for another 2-3 interception game. And if he's without his two offensive weapons and Bowers is going to be out and Jacoby Myers may be out, I like the Chiefs to win here by 2 touchdowns.
In rare fashion, I'm going to go with the Chiefs to cover just because the last couple of victories have been pretty decidedly against way better competition. They beat the Giants, who are a better team, by more than that amount. Same thing. They beat the Ravens by 17. They beat the Lions, although the Lions were a little down as well, by 13. Raiders, I typically like these divisional games, and I like to go the Raiders with the points. I just haven't seen anything yet from the Raiders from their perspective. So, rare fashion, going to go with the Chiefs. Dolphins, Browns. Browns favored by 2.5 points, over under 37.5. Is that right?
That's correct.
Wow. Wow, that's low. Let's go with Aaron. Aaron, you go.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Rome, 37.5 total. I mean, when you get the Browns playing, this is what you get, right? Defensive battle, defensive game where, you know, Dolphins, a lot of turmoil. You know, a lot of people weren't happy about Tua's comments. We mentioned it on the game, how he came out and said, you know, players not showing up to players' meetings. A lot of ex-current players, media coming out. I saw today or yesterday that he apologized for those comments. I'm going with the Browns here at home. I think Dylan Gabriel gets his first win. The Browns, this is their first game with him under center at home. Remember, they had the road game last week in Pittsburgh and then the previous game where they were there in London against the Vikings. I think the Dolphins right now, with all the turmoil, maybe if things go south in this game early, the team just kind of, you know, doesn't play hard for Tua. You know, Mike McDaniels is out as the coach. the Browns defensively can get after you. I like the running game, the rookie they got out of Ohio State. I'm going with the Browns here at home, -2.5 to get their second victory of the year.
Nice.
Yeah, Jason. I agree with Aaron. The Dolphins at this point, not sure what they're going to put up. I think Achane would be the key to the game if the Dolphins can get anything going. But the Browns defense keeps them in games. And if Gabriel can get anything going offensively, Jerry Jeudy, I think, still questionable. Maybe the only thing, you know, as far as in the passing game, that may be an opportunity. But I think with the Dolphins offense being so up and down and really not having a direction like it was a couple years ago, and the Browns defense keeping this team in games, I'll take the Browns.
Nice. This would be a stay away just because the Dolphins have actually surprisingly been in a lot of these games, pretty competitive. They do got some entries. I don't know if you guys heard the wind factor in this game. It's picking up over there in Cleveland. It's supposed to be around 40 miles an hour. So no passing. It's going to be all the run game. So who has a stronger running game makes me want to lean towards the Dolphins with the points with the 2.5. I like the Browns to win, but I expect this to be a really close contest just because of running game. But then again, the Browns have one of the best defenses as well. So that's where I'm kind of like teeter-tottering. Man. Sorry, it just froze up right now.
This is a hell of a stay away. I thought the screen froze. I didn't know what was going on here.
Yeah. This is such a stay away, man. I'm so tempted to take the Dolphins with the points. I do like the Browns, though, too, on their defense. I'll take the Dolphins with the points. I feel like it's going to be a close game on this one. Might change my mind by the end of this pod. Patriots, Titans, the Pats, favored by 7 points, and Tennessee. A little Vrabel rematch or revenge game, if you will, over unders 42. By the way, definite under on the Dolphins-Browns game, 37.5, especially with the win factor. Just going to be all running, probably all defense. Going to probably be one of the uglier games of the week. Pats, Titans.
Rome, Jason, you took the words out of my mouth. Mike Vrabel revenge game. Titans fire the man who brought him so much success with a roster over the years, with led by Ryan Tannehill and running game with Derrick Henry and a bunch of guys we never knew, but this team was getting to AFC championship games and just never knew what was going on. And then they fire the man sitting on the sidelines. The Titans are a really bad team. Patriots, you know, they're getting better. Drake May, you mentioned in the previous pods where, hey, he could be the franchise quarterback. We're looking at him. You see flashes. Don't know if he's got all the pieces around him quite just yet. But this team can still score. The Titans, I don't know what they can do offensively. They fired their coach this week. Vrabel, he wants to blow this team out. He's just that type of guy. So give me them to cover that 7. Patriots.
Aaron.
I agree 100% with what Jason said. I mean, Mike Vrabel's going to have these guys up for this game. I think the Patriots, the players are going to be up. They're going to have his back. They know how much this means to him. I mean, if you look at what the Tennessee Titans have done over the last few years, the dumbest thing they might have done was get rid of Mike Vrabel. Brian Callahan out as a coach, as you guys mentioned. His father fired, as well as the offensive line coach. You know, the only thing that kind of worries me is here, you know, teams sometimes get up for a new coach over the last decade. Teams are 12-12 of new coaches entering as an interim in their first game. I think the difference here is the Titans are really just that awful, and the Patriots are showing signs that they're getting better week to week. And like Jason said, I think Vrabel wants to beat these guys by 50. I think they beat them by at least 20. I'll take the Patriots -7.
Nice. Clean sweep here. If it was any other coach to be an interim coach, I'd be tempted to take the Titans for the points. But I wasn't a fan of any of his other renditions as head coach anyways, so even better. Saints, Bears. Bears favored by 4.5 against a really tough Saints team. Everyone thought they were going to be the worst in the league, but so far they're kind of piecing together some offense. Rattler, their quarterback, looking pretty decent. Over-under is 46.5. Jason.
Well, Rome, I'll let you go first. What's the Bears stat of the day?
I believe the stat that I was looking at was that the Bears are the only team to score 21 points
that is
in every
stat.
Single game this year.
All right,
year.
Right there. Only team to score 21 points. We didn't get to talk
in every single
about
game.
You know, the Monday night, you know, referee bias against the Bears that were favoring the Commanders, the Troy Aikman bias commentary, just bashing Caleb for every throw, and praising the quarterback that just turned the ball over three times in the game and cost his own team the game. So we won't talk about that at all. But yeah, the Bears offensively, you know, we can go back a year ago, Rome, when I'm telling you that they need to fire the head coach and hire Ben Johnson. This is the reason why you want Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's a psychopath, all right? You watch that guy on the sideline, but he's my psychopath. He's Bears fan psychopath. This guy knows how to put an offense throughout there. He knows how to call plays for an entire game. He is setting this team up for big plays and big moments. The Bears have like the number two big play offense in the NFL, but no one wants to give him any credit for it because we're too busy making Caleb Williams, you know, enemy number one across the game, which is okay. It's fine. This team's going to score. They're going to blow this Saints team out. Was it 4.5? I don't care. Give me a touchdown. Give me two touchdowns. Bears win this game big.
Wow. Aaron.
That's a tough act to follow, but I'm agreeing. I like the Bears here. And I mean, the offense has been great, but I saw a lot from the defense. Jason mentioned last week, they were getting guys back. That defense looked good. What impressed me most is how the Bears defensive line manhandled the Washington Commanders offensive line. I believe the Saints are going to have problems. The Saints, Rome, Spencer Rattler's looked pretty good these last couple weeks. He's getting better, but those are all at home. The Saints have not played well on the road. I don't expect them to travel and play well here in Chicago. Bears coming short week, you know, a few guys banged up, you know, Moore's hurt. I just saw Swift got added to the injury report, but I think this defense is going to continue to have a good game, force some turnovers. And like Jason mentioned, the explosive plays on the offense will continue. I like the Bears to win here by about 8 to 10 points. They'll cover 4.5.
That's crazy, because if you look at all the Bears losses, man, they're like all in that 4.5 range. This is really tempted to take the Saints, so they're going to show up. I don't like the injuries on offense on the Bears, but and their big blowout victories, for instance, against the Cowboys. Cowboys are way better than the Saints, so I'm leaning on the Bears on this one, but would not be surprised if Saints keep it close, at least within 5 points. That's where like the difference is. I would like it a lot more if it was within 5.5.
You can get the Saints 5.5 at a lot of places. So I'm glad this line's 4.5 here. I've seen 5.5 at a lot of places.
Really?
Yeah.
I would take it at 5.5. I think it has a possibility. Eagles, Vikings, close game, basically a pick 'em here. Viking or Eagles on the road, 0.5 favorites, 44 over under. Jason, go ahead.
All right, two in a row. You're gonna make me go first. Okay. Yeah, Eagles, man. I mean, we started the beginning of the year with the Packers potentially best team in the NFC. You know, they kind of took it off a little bit. And the Eagles played a ton of close games, and then the way they've looked the past couple weeks, not as good. The Vikings, is J.J. McCarthy playing, Aaron? Did they announce that he's playing yet?
I don't think he is. I think Wentz is getting the start.
This is, Rome, you talk about stayaways, even at a 1.5-point spread. I don't like either of these teams. I'm still not convinced on the Vikings. I don't know really what to think of them offensively or defensively. I know their coach knows how to get offensive going, but, man, he's playing with Wentz. I don't know how they get the passing game going week to week. The Eagles, I think they run like 50 tush pushes a game. I don't know what their offense is. It's 1 yard at a time for there on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 to get that going. As reluctantly, I just think because the Eagles are going to bounce back and they just got guys, I'm going to take the Eagles.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Vikings here as a home dog looks enticing, but, you know, who's playing quarterback and who's healthy, right? They're both quarterbacks are banged up. Wentz has got a shoulder. McCarthy's got the ankle. The Eagles were embarrassed primetime game Thursday night. They've kind of, I think, looked to hit the reset button. Their defense was embarrassed too. Vic Fangio, they've got to get that cleaned up. You know, Quentin Mitchell's supposed to be back at corner. He's practicing now after a hamstring injury. The run game has been terrible. Saquon's numbers are down. What is he averaging? Maybe 2.8, 3 yards a carry. They're getting healthier on the offensive line. Supposed to get Dickerson back. I like the Eagles here. I mean, they're like Jason said, they got more dogs. They got more healthy bodies. They've got a quarterback that's healthy. I just don't trust the Vikings offensive line. Jalen Carter should be back as well. He missed that Thursday night game in which Cam Scatavu ran all over him.
Yeah.
I like the Eagles here in a bounce back spot. This is a big game for them, and I think they get it done, even though the Vikings are coming off that bye week. I'm going Eagles here -1.5, but this should be a close game.
Yeah, unanimous here. What's up with JJ, man? I just feel like they're kind of dragging him on along a little bit, getting him some time to get some reps, some rest. It's a high ankle sprain, so I know how that kind of hurts a lot, and that's tough to play on. But for everything you guys said, Eagles should be ready to respond. By the way, trade rumors for Brown picking up, Pats are the favorite to pick to get him by the trade deadline, and I kind of like that pickup if they can make that happen. So he's really unhappy. I know they're winning, but here he got a Super Bowl, or was it two already?
Just one.
So ready to move on. Just one. Really interesting to keep an eye on that one, on the disgruntled Eagles there. Panthers, Jets, another 1.5 with the Panthers favored on the road in the Meadowlands, 41.5 over under. Aaron.
I kind of hinted at it early in the week. This line makes no sense to me. I mean, the Jets are going to be without Garrett Wilson. Panthers been playing really well, but the Panthers are 0-3 on the road, and they turn the ball over a lot on the road. And the Jets, the only way they can win this game is through special teams, maybe a block punt, field goal, a return, forcing a lot of turnovers. Reluctantly, in a league that's unpredictable, I'm going to take the Jets. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost by 30, but I know if I took Carolina, they'd lose by 20. So I'm just going to take the Jets and hope for the best here.
Jason.
Aaron's not wrong in this one. The home dog Jets versus a Panthers team that no one's really kind of believed in. And they have just kind of, you know, the last 2 weeks with some big wins and potentially finding something in the run game with Rico Dowdle. And then they still got Chuba Hubbard potentially coming back. He was limited at practice. So, you know, do they have basically a two running back backfield right now that they're going to be able to lean into and give Bryce Young time to open up, you know, some of his wide receivers? And there's some talent on the outside for him at wide receiver with, you know, the rookie they brought in and, you know, Xavier Leggett, who kind of came on here in the past week or so as well, too. So, I don't disagree with Aaron. I think this game can go either way, depending on who we pick. Since I was so passionate and gave you, Carolina potentially looking like they could want to be in the playoffs here at a certain point. If you're going to make the playoffs, you got to beat a winless Jets team. So give me the Panthers. I'll take them to cover.
That's hilarious. These are the type of games that I would definitely, you know, Jets are due, right? How many times do I say that? Like, this team is due. It's just a feel thing. This year has not been with the same results as years past. And I just don't get it. Why? Panthers' run game has looked really good. Jets, are they really due? If you look at the Panthers, though, besides game blown out week one, they had two back-to-back good wins, or at least close games against the Cards and then the Falcons. They get their ass beat by the Patriots, then come back with two more back-to-back competitive games as well. They actually got the victories instead of split 1-1. I feel like they've shown me enough where I'm going to take a chance and take the favorite here in New Jersey and hope for the best. But, if Fields comes out and has a 3-touchdown game, you know, I don't know.
I don't know, but I kind of like it that I'm the only one on the Jets here. It's a nice spot to pick up a game or maybe go behind a game. I don't know. We'll see what the Jets do.
100%. Next game, we have the last warning game, Colts, Chargers. No,
it's an afternoon game, Rome.
So that's all the morning games.
Yeah.
All right.
They are in time order on the sheet. I just want to verify. You gave Aaron a lot of crap.
Circa got it right this week. Yeah. I think they listened to the show.
But typically it goes, you only do a gap when it goes to the afternoon games. It's a morning game continuation. So
I don't think it's a gap, Rome.
You got me, Aaron.
If you look to the left on this sheet, I know this isn't good podcast audio right now, but if you look in the left where the at London, England things on the Rams, Jags, it adds a space. There's a space there. So they hit the enter button, created a space. There's additional lines. So now I think it just kind of threw everything off for when you're looking at the template aspect of things right now. Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
That's not how documents.
I don't know what kind of document is, bro. I'm just looking at what you look at the left there. There's an additional, you know, line on that thing. I know this is
yes.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why that space bar is up, right? Yeah. So at London, England. It's referring to where the game's at. It does not list where the other locations are, like, so far.
No, Rob, I'll come to you. I'll come to your defense on this. Aaron did not provide the network in which these games are on, so I don't know if I'm watching on Okay, all right.
It's either Fox or CBS. Take your guess. Wait. Aren't you supposed to know NFC games are on Fox and AFC on CBS? Like, everybody knows that. There's a lot of mix and matching going on
right now. It's not as clear cut as it used to be back in my day, you know?
That is true, but you got an 80% probability of guessing it right. Like, I'm going to say Colts Chargers is going to be on.
That's on CBS 100%. CBS. Romo and Nance got to be calling this game, right?
That's a CBS game. Yeah,
They might be. Yeah, I think Brady and what's his name will probably be at Cowboys Commanders, but we'll see.
I miss Mark Jackson on the telecast.
You mean Sanchez?
I was gonna say Mark Jackson. Sanchez, I know he's I got kicked off NBA coverage. I didn't know he was doing football. I must have missed that. You know,
dude, more stuff that leaks out about that night is pretty wild. And this is what makes me worried about getting married, man. His wife doesn't have his back at all. Threw him underneath the bus when she got interviewed.
I think most men are in that same boat, Rome.
Yeah.
It's called man overboard.
Man overboard. Yeah. All right. Anyways, that's enough life advice, I guess, at this hour. Colts Chargers. Hell of a game. Is it game of the week? Possibly, with the Chargers favored 1.5 at home. Basically a pick 'em. That's how Vegas views it. 48 over under. Aaron, with your hometown team, who you got?
Yeah, Ron, this is a great game. My guy Shane Steichen coming back to SoFi, trying to have better luck this time around than he did last time. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about this game. I've been 6-0 picking the Colts games this year, whether or not they were going to win, cover, lose. Chargers not as great, but I'm going to go with the home team here. I think SoFi is going to be a heartache for the Colts. They already lost there against the Rams. I think it's another tough loss for them. Quinn Johnson coming back. Jason's guy, Ladd McConkey, finally got over 100 yards last week. Chargers got the run game going. I'm going to go with the Chargers here to get a big win at home, beat the Colts in a close game. I think the Chargers, again, win this game by a late field goal by Dicker the kicker. Give me the Chargers winning 30-28 over the Colts.
You love saying that.
I think every Charger fan likes.
All right, Jason.
That. It's just
Dick of the kicker. Yeah.
A game of the week gotta be is on CBS confirmed. I was just checking it out. It is on CBS confirmed. Man, tough, really tough. As Aaron said, I'd use your patent. Stay away on this one if I'm really looking at it, because I do like both teams, and the Chargers. 100%. I'll tell you, a little bit of a lull there, but I mean, like Aaron said, McConkey kind of had his breakout a little bit for this season that we expect him to take that step. Johnston's going to be back this week. I believe he's pretty much cleared. He's going to be good to go. So you have the full complement of receivers. Potentially found something in the running game, you know, whether we fourth or fifth running back there on the Chargers, but, you know, had a pretty good breakout. I'm already forgetting the name, Aaron. Was it Valor, Valor? Vidal, yeah, Vidal.
He took
the lead last week. But I think Aaron's right. Going back to SoFi right now, where the Colts lost to the Rams a couple weeks ago, I think the biggest thing you got to ask, this Colts team can score, and we haven't seen the full complement of the Chargers offense just yet. I mean, they've won games, but it's been close. They've got up early in some games. They haven't really closed it. I agree with Aaron. I think this is a game where we see a little more of this Chargers offense. The Colts have had some teams score up against them as well, too. When you look at, you know, the Cardinals last week with a backup quarterback, the Broncos, you know, week two got a thing. I mean, even the Titans scored 20 points again to a certain point, even though it was a little bit of a blowout. But I think the Chargers find themselves a little bit offensively this week and win a tight one.
Last time Jim Harbaugh has lost three games was in 2014 with the Niners. He does not lose three games in a row, and they've lost back-to-back heartbreakers. And since I have their quarterback in my fantasy league, it's kind of like a little biased pick here. I really need him to show up, man. I didn't need him to show up and show out. I like the over on the points, the 48. It's going to be a shootout because, you know, Daniel Jones and the running game for the Colts is going to be coming in. The Chargers have not actually looked great at all in 3 weeks now. It's a little cause of concern. We said the Chargers were going to take the next step. They look great. It seems like we were handing out championship trophies in the first 3 weeks of the season, and everyone that we hand them to has not looked great since then. All the top guys in the power rankings since then have toppled. Chargers have to respond here. They really have no choice. Colts can afford to lose a close one here at SoFi. I would not be surprised if they win. I kind of like them with the points. Hell, if they had 2 or 3 points, I might take them with the points, but Chargers have to win no matter what. This is do or die. They cannot lose 3 in a row and be stuck in the middle of that division. Chargers with the 1.5. Giants, Broncos. Broncos favored by 7 points. To me, this line is a little big. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Broncos have not looked really good offensively here these last couple of games, right? I mean, they struggled for 3 quarters against Philadelphia, got it together in the 4th quarter, pulled out that win, went to London, left their offense here back in the States. But their defense, 9 sacks last week. You know they're going to put a lot of pressure looks on Jackson Dart. One thing about young quarterbacks, we saw Dart in his only road start, but they had 5 turnovers against the Saints. This defense is way better than the Saints. This defense is grilled and aggressive. And I think Sean Payton and Bo Nix aren't going to put together 2 ugly offense performances. I think the Giants, a lot of the public's going to be on them, just how good Dart's looked and him Scataboo. Broncos have struggled offensively. I like Denver here. I'm taking the Broncos -7. I think that defense steps up. Sertan and all those guys stop them. Broncos were one of the top 5 rushing teams before last week. They couldn't do anything offensively in London. I'd be surprised if they have back-to-back performances like that again. I like the Broncos here at home -7.
Jason.
Man, you're right, Rome. 7 points is a lot, especially for an offense that I just haven't been enamored with Aaron's guy, Sean Payton, here throughout the season. And as good as, you know, they found something there with Jackson Dart and Scataboo, man. I mean, I don't know how many games these guys could last just smashing their head up against each other and the walls and whatever's going on with the Bash Brothers over there. But, you know, it's something. They got a vibe. There's definitely, you know, I don't want to say aura, but I mean, potentially an aura around this Giants team if they found someone, these 2 young players that they got. With the extra time off, I would say, you know, it being in Denver is a little concerning from the Giants, but they got to play on Thursday. Time to recoup. Get ready for this team. I just haven't liked the way Denver has played offensively, and the Giants have kept, you know, a bunch of these games maybe closer than they should have, and definitely won games like the Chargers game and Eagles game that they probably didn't deserve to be in at that time. So with that many points at 7, I'll take the Giants.
Yeah, this one's tough. I think that's too big of a spread. Broncos, Aaron's other team, coming off basically a mental loss up in London or wherever they were playing against the Jets, where offense was anemic. They barely escaped the Eagles. If you look, anytime that they faced a team with a decent running game, Colts, Chargers, they lost those ones. This is their first time home in more than a month, though, or in about a month. They've been away the whole time. I expect them to show out. They should benefit with the time off. But they haven't faced a young, cocky little duo like this Giants team. And I'm just kind of feeling it. Scataboo, Dart, him getting all his tight ends and all the wide receivers. Like, it's just like next man up. They got the vibes going on. I think it's going to be a tough game. I just like them with the points as well. I'm with you, Jason. Giants with a 7. Broncos still win. In the other half of the afternoon games, Commanders, Cowboys, another 1.5. For the Commanders on the road in Dallas, 55 over under. So they're expecting another shootout in this one. Jason.
Yeah, expect a shootout in this one. I mean, pretty much I think everything we're looking at from Dallas so far this year is just not being really enthused with what that Dallas defense can do. You know, they got the rare feat of the 40-40 tie. And then last week's really, you know, bad loss to, you know, Carolina and where they're sitting. The good news for Dallas, CeeDee Lamb said he's playing. So that's going to give this offense something more.
It's coming back.
But really bad loss for the Commanders on Monday night to the Bears, with all kidding aside to my Bears rant a little while ago. This is still a really good Commanders team. And, you know, they got some guys hurt. You know, McLaren did not play in that game versus the Bears on Monday night. I think he's still questionable. Not sure if they've announced him yet at this time. But interesting line for a Commanders team that we see, you know, think so highly of, and the Cowboys, basically everyone was buried for the Cowboys to only be a 1.5-point dog is interesting. I think the Commanders, you know, they're going to want to step back after really disappointing turning the ball over versus the Bears. I'll take Washington.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Washington coming off that tough loss Monday, but they're really banged up. I mean, offensively, you know, Debo might not play. Noah Brown just went on the IR. So they've got some issues. I think what was really concerning for me is that their offensive line really got manhandled by, you know, a Bears defense of line in that game. And Washington's not very good on defense. They give up points. I like what Dak has been doing. He's been in the zone. They lost last week, not because of the offense, because their defense, which is porous, has been an issue. But every time this defense has played really bad, they've kind of bounced back with a kind of make-up, play-well game. I like the Cowboys at home. You're getting CD back. They can run the ball. I think that defense can control the Washington Commanders offensive line, which will limit that run game. Jaden Daniels is still a little bit banged up. He's not running as much as wearing that knee brace, and the offensive weapons on the outside being out for the Commanders. I think it's going to be a shootout, but with CD back, I like the Cowboys getting points at home. I think they have enough offensively. They've got a better kicker as well. Commanders kicker's not good. Special teams, shootout. Give me the home dog. Give me the Cowboys to win this one.
Wow. Do you like the over-under on that one?
55 is high. That's a lot of points.
That's very high.
I mean, yeah. I don't think we've had an over-under that high yet this year. I think usually we get about, 52, which we got, you know, Detroit is kind of
coming up, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if the Cowboys defense balls out, they could win this game like 33-20 or something. I don't know. I mean, I think that 55's, I think the under might be enticing a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Whatever the team total for the Cowboys is, I would take the over. I think the Cowboys are going to get at least 30 points in this game.
Yeah. Fair enough. This would be a stay away. It's really interesting because the Commanders have typically played pretty decent on the road this year, pulling off some pretty big victories. Cowboys been in a lot of these games. You know, it's going to be a shootout. I do like Lamb coming back. I guess I'm just leaning towards to expect more of a rebound game from the Cowboys because they haven't, it's not like they've been like playing terribly. They've been in all these games, but the Commanders though, they really got manhandled and they let a victory, I think, go and they gave it away to the Bears. I think they're a little pissed off at themselves for that. That's why I'm going to go with the Commanders on this one with the points. It's going to be a close one, but since it's only 1 point, then who really cares? Next game is Packers Cardinals, 6.5 for the Pack in Arizona, 45 over under. Jason.
Yeah, interesting line because I don't know who's playing. Kyler, questionable. Marvin Harrison Jr.
I think Kyler's. I think Jacoby Brissett's going to get
what
the
it
start.
Looks like from what I've heard. Concussion for Marvin Harrison Jr. He's limited in practice. Zay Jones, I think, is limited as well. I think so there's a lot of things, I think, going against the Cardinals in this game. But 6.5 is a ton of points. You know, you look at Arizona. They're 2-4. They lost by 1 point, 3 points, 1 point, and 4 points. They keep these games close. And even with Jacoby Brissett against a good Colts team, the Packers, you know, they looked like the best team in the league early in the season. But then, you know, have had some games. The tie versus Dallas, you know, wasn't great. The loss versus the Browns obviously was where we kind of turned the routine where they play it. You know, the defense for Arizona keeps them in games. And with this spread being 6.5, even with Jacoby Brissett, I will take the Cardinals 6.5.
Aaron.
Yeah. I mean, Packers have yet to win a road game this year. I mean, they got beat by the Browns. They tied with the Cowboys. They've kind of looked sluggish here and there. Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett, he usually has one good game a year as a backup. I think he had it last week.
Was that it?
Harrison is, I don't think he's going to get cleared to play. I mean, he has clear concussion protocol. Cardinals defensively, they're aggressive. But, I mean, Packers offensively been pretty good no matter where they've gone outside of that game against the Browns. It's a lot of points. I feel like either the Packers cover and win fairly comfortable or Arizona wins outright. So whatever side you like, I think it's going to win this game. I'm going to go with the Packers. I mean, I think it's going to be about 40-50% of the fans there are going to be Packer fans anyways. A lot of people from Wisconsin moved to retire to Arizona. This right now, Jonathan Gannon's probably on his way out. We talked about it after that debacle there by the running back. Now he's getting a lot of, you know, hate from people. I just think that team right now, Jacoby Brissett came in, stepped up. That was against his old team, the Colts. He wanted to kind of prove a point. I think he takes a step back. No Marvin Harrison. I don't know how they're going to be able to move the ball against the Packers. I think Micah and that D-line has a big game. I like the Packers here to cover 6.5.
This is tough, man, just because the Cardinals are like a cockroach. They can flourish in the worst of circumstances, even when people are out. I've kind of went back and forth on this. I think 6.5 is a lot. I'm leaning the Cardinals with the points just because they're at home. The Packers, aside from their first two games when they beat up on the Lions and the Commanders, they've just been barely floating along, swimming along, losing the Browns, tie the Cowboys. Not impressive against the Bengals, although the Bengals look really great today.
That win looks better now after what the Bengals did tonight. So
they got a little more.
It is what it is. It is what it is. It looks better.
Look, I guess. I'm throwing it out. But this kind of feels like the Packers are kind of due for a show on out, and why not do it against a Cardinals team that is depleted as the way they are? If Brissett is playing, he played fucking lights out last week, guys. Didn't even recognize him. I was like, that can't be Murray. Doesn't look like a toddler running on the field. Brissett playing his mind out. I think I'm going to switch it back, dude. I'll take the Packs. I'll take the Packers. I talked myself into it. They're going to blow out the Cardinals. It's time for a statement win because they're not even in my Power 8 right now. And I heard one guy complain about that. And I was like, who have they beat? They haven't done anything since week 2. Maybe this is when they show me a little life.
Rome, I'm gonna pause you right there because I believe your Steelers were in your Power 8, right?
Yeah, they were. No.
That guy, I'm sure, is going to make the comment that the Packers did do something the Steelers didn't do, and that's beat the Bengals.
I'm just saying, I think
that's going to be his argument this week.
Get out of here. All right. Time for the Sunday night games. Falcons, 49ers here in Santa Clara.
Are you going, Rome? Are you going?
I would love to go. I have my daughter.
I mean,
you might just go to the tailgate.
You just walk around the stadium and I guess get in eventually.
Maybe take a couple 20s and just hang out there. You know, why not? I don't want to take my daughter, though, to a Niners game. They get pretty rowdy. As I mentioned, the fans are pretty rough. And I don't trust myself in a Niners stadium when there's a bunch of free booze and free shots. And I still have to watch over a 6-year-old. Not the best of circumstances. But Niners favored by 1.5 at home, 47 over under Sunday night underneath the nice bright lights. And I don't know how the weather's down there. I think it's like a nice, cool late summer nighttime for us since we get like a little late summer push here. Jason.
Yeah, another interesting game and another team for the 49ers is I don't know who's playing. I mean, no team I don't know has been hurt more than the Niners because of these. Throughout this, the leading QB passer in this game, though, is Mac Jones. If he's actually getting the start, okay.
Mac Jones
leading receiver
starting,
between these two teams is Christian McCaffrey. So, I'm pretty sure I'll pick the Falcons wrong, no matter what I do at this point from a week to week basis. I just feel the Niners are just way too hurt. They lose Fred Warner last week. I think this would be a perfect opportunity to have Bijan Robinson have another big game. The Falcons had a big win on Monday night against the Bills and, you know, could potentially prove like, hey, you know, maybe they could be who we thought they were. Right? You know, we're 2 years in the making of thinking this team's going to break out. And week to week, we don't know. I'll take the Falcons. I think it's a game I'd stay away. If I use one of your patents, stay away. I don't get a good feeling one way or the other. Shanahan can make some weird magic happen all the time in some of these games, but I'll take the Falcons.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, like I said last week, I like the Falcons in that upset Monday night against the Bills. It was a good spot for them coming off a bye week. The Falcons are kind of one of those teams we have not been able to figure out. I believe I'm starting to figure them out now that I've collected more information on them. You know, I think I give the edge here to the 49ers because who is basically the coordinator for the Falcons? Ulbrich. Who do you learn under? Saleh. Who's the 49ers been practicing all offseason against? Saleh's defense. So I think Shanahan's going to have a great game plan for it. I think with getting Kittle back, Mac Jones, McCaffrey, all these guys coming back, after a tough loss in Tampa Bay. I don't like the short week traveling from Atlanta to a Sunday night San Francisco. Falcons have played good in primetime. Remember, they beat Minnesota on a Sunday night, and then the Monday night went over the Bills. I think this is a classic letdown by Atlanta. I like the 49ers to get the job done. Big win here by them to retain first place in that division.
This would be a stay away for me, and that would put me at 5 so far in the week, and we still got two more games to go. Really interesting line here. Yeah, lots of injuries, but Mac Jones, man, he just looks really, really good, really, really solid. And he actually has his team playing for them. They lost a really tough one last week to the Bucs. And although the receivers are out, Bourne and other guys have stepped in really wonderfully, getting over 140 yards in each game. Mac Jones still averaging above 260. High quarterback rating, as you mentioned, Jason. Falcons looked really good against the Bills. I think I put that more on the Bills just dropping a game than the Falcons' capabilities. I do like Penix. I like the running back. I do like components of them. But I expect the 49ers' rowdy, raunchy, drunk stadium to get in the face of all the Atlanta Falcons fans and that team and make it very uncomfortable. It's going to be a close game by a field goal. 49ers barely cover at the last second with Pinero hitting a game-winning shot. I know it's a basketball reference, but I like the 49ers in this one. Barely covering on this one. It's going to be tight. Do we have another double fucking Monday night game?
We do, Rome, but they're not. They're spaced out, so they're not going at the same time this time.
Motherfuckers, man. Motherfuckers. All right. Monday night, Bucks, Lions, and another game of the week. Maybe my favorite game of the week. I don't know who to go for. Lions favored by 5.5 at home with Baker and the Bucks coming to town. Jason.
Yeah, Bucks all year, really close games. They won a lot of games and won these close ones. And everything's they've kept close, except last week. You know, they really put it on the Niners there kind of towards the end of the game. And just seeing more and more out of Baker. I mean, Aaron, would you say Baker's leading the MVP voting right now?
I would have him at the top of that list, yeah.
I think the Lions are going to be well prepared in this game, and I do think the Lions win this game. But the Buccaneers can score, and they're finding different ways to be created on offense, even with, hey, Bucky Irving's out, Godwin's out, Evans done for the season. Other guys have stepped up, and Baker finds ways to get them offensively. Again, I think the Lions win, but 5.5 is way too many points for a really good Buccaneers team. So I will take the Bucs plus 5.5.
Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's really, really banged up, but so is Detroit defensively. Detroit's basically going to be about all their secondary guys. Branch suspended after that punch at the end of the game on Juju.
Oh, so good. Oh, so good. I loved it.
You know, it sounds like a lot of NFL players were happy about it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
hold on, why?
We need some they just don't like Juju. He's all talk. He's all talk, no action.
No one has liked him since everyone liked
TikTok,
him.
TikTok, right?
His rookie. Yeah, it was a TikTok game. Thing, yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think Tampa keeps it close. I like the Lions to win. I like the Bucs to cover 5.5. I mean, it sounds like Mike Evans might be back for this game. We'll see.
Yeah, he's questionable right now. He practiced today.
But Godwin is out. Bucky's out. The rookie out of Ohio State is out with the hamstring. But they're injured. The weakness for Detroit is their secondary of all their guys out too. So I think Baker still could take advantage of that. And the Tampa still has a pretty good defense. Traditionally, these teams have been battling it out the last 2 or 3 years. They've always been tight games. I like the Lions to win a close one here, but I'll take the Bucs to cover 5.5.
Nice. Bucs have been playing really well this year so far. Evans might come back. He's on my fantasy team, and I'm trying to decide what to do here. Lions didn't look particularly very sharp last week. I do expect a little bounce back game. But they do have, I think, I know that's the Bills I'm thinking about. Laporta had a big game last time. Kind of tossed it up, man. I have a feeling Lions are going to win by a touchdown here. But the secondary. But if they don't have any receivers to take advantage of the secondary, what's going to really happen? I know they had a couple of rookies. I can't remember who the other rookie is. He might be like a good waiver wire pickup for some guys on the fantasy football team.
Is it that Tez Johnson?
Yeah, the one that great that, quote, by the way. It was on socials where he heard the crowd yelling MVP, and he's like, yo, man, they're yelling MVP for me, but I haven't really done much. It's the first time he caught a touchdown in his career. And can't remember who the other guy was that he was talking to. It was someone well-known. He's like, yeah, that's for Baker, bro. He's like, well, that makes a lot of sense. It's like, it was a good laugh, man. Really, really good. I do like the over on this one, so I would take that one. Let's go with Lions. Gets both his tight ends involved. Running game. They're two-headed monster. They win by a touchdown. Texans, Seahawks for the last game this week at 7 o'clock. So that's at 10 o'clock. Wow, that's a late start for the East Coast. That sucks. Seahawks -3 against the Texans, 41 over-under. Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, Seattle, we've talked about it on this program a lot. What Seattle team is going to show up at home, right? I mean, they've been road warriors, went 9 straight road wins. Last home game, tough loss against Baker in the Bucs. Texans have kind of put together 2 nice wins, but against the Ravens and the Titans, they're coming off a bye week. Tennessee's coming in here. Seattle looks like they're getting more healthier now. The secondary guys got some limited practices in this week, but I like Seattle at home. I just think that defensive line defense is going to overwhelm a poor offensive line that the Texans have. I do like the Texans defense, but they're going to be put in bad situations. I'm going Seattle to win here. I think 3 points is generous. I think they'll win by at least 6 or more. Give me the Seahawks to beat the Texans.
Yep, agree with Aaron on Jason. This one, and he's 100% right. We just don't know what a Seahawks team is going to show up at home, but they were real competitive versus that Tampa Bay game. Could have gone either way. What I think you've really seen this year is with DK Metcalf departing, the biggest question was like, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba going to stack up as a number one wide receiver? And he looks like one of the top 5 wide receivers in the game and continues to get better. And Darnold finds him, and I think that's going to be a big key to this game. And I'll double down what Aaron said. Defensive line, we're going to talk about Houston's offensive line every time and protecting C.J. Stroud. The defense in Seattle is pretty solid, and I think they get after it. I will take the Seahawks as well.
Nice. So this is Seahawks have been on the road for a few games, right?
They've kind of been alternating. Road, home, road, home.
Okay, never mind. Oh, that's right. Tough loss against the Bucs.
And then they went at Jacksonville last week.
Yeah, I really have no opinion on this game, really. I'm trying to think about the Houston Texans and like nothing is coming to mind, like absolutely nothing. Just brain dead. Seahawks. That's it. What an interesting week. Any final thoughts?
I don't know, Rome. I mean,
any outside upsets?
I think we went through it. I think some interesting lines as we go through and really figuring things out. Aaron, I think, said it best when we were talking about that Carolina Jets game. Whatever way we go, it's going to be unpredictable. We're at the time of the year where injuries are going to start mattering even more in some of these matchups. So
I feel less confident about this week than last week.
Well, I do feel confident, Rome, is you don't like the 2 Monday night games. I get that. But you answered your own question. The 7 p.m. start time for the Seattle Texans game. Great for us on the West Coast because, you know, hey, some of us are still at work at 5 o'clock when the game generally starts. So, hey, give me a 7 o'clock game. I can watch the whole game. So that's why they do it. That's why they do it, Rome, for us on the West Coast in God's time zone.
In God's time zone. Wow. It's a big statement there. I had to clip that. All right. That'll do it for Lions with the guys Thursday night week. What week is this? Week 7.
Week 7.
That's wild. I'll do it. We'll be back with the recap next week. We are out.